ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
I hear what you're saying. Your feelings are valid. I accept you. Have you ever had a response like that after speaking to someone at work? How did it make you feel hearing this? Hello, I'm Lisa Leong, and this is ABC Radio National's This Working Life, helping to make your work life better. We're diving deep into the feels in this episode as we explore the use of a psychological technique called validation at work. As you'll hear, it can have a big impact on individuals and the overall workplace culture. Dr. Caroline Fleck is a psychologist and corporate consultant and the author of Validation, The New Psychology of Influence. Hi, Caroline.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So validation, the word, it actually didn't mean much to me when I first heard it in the work context. And I actually just kept on thinking about my car park ticket validation.
Fair.
So what do you mean by the word validation?
Yeah, validation is simply a way of communicating that you're there, you get it, and you care. So it's this like signal of acceptance that you're sending. And when received, it has the effect of making the other person feel seen, okay? Not judged, and not even necessarily like you agree with them, simply that you see where they're coming from or some part of their experience is valid.
And why do you think this is so crucial, particularly in the workplace, Caroline?
First of all, you know, being able to provide positive reinforcement in ways other than simply giving people money and stock, that's important across the board, right, for incentivizing work. And we tend to rely on praise. Good job. Nice work. That was a great presentation. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not against it. It's a little weak of a signal. In other words, when we're just praised for our work, we don't necessarily feel psychologically safe. We don't necessarily feel seen in our experience. And so I'm always saying, yes, praise the work, but validate the person. It is that extra element that you can bring in to a dynamic, into a group, into a team, and even into a company that is really transformative. And as you experiment with this, I think what you'll find is that often what folks are seeking when they come to us, either for problem solving or even just to celebrate their successes, they are seeking some degree of validation. They want someone to say, yeah, this is great. And man, you pulled several all-nighters to pull this off. Like, that was a lot of work. Right? That's the validation piece. Great job is praise. I see you. I see what you put in. That's validation.
Caroline, what would you say to someone who says, look, we pay you for a reason. You know, you should just do your work. Like, I'm not here and that's not my job to validate you as a human being.
Sure. I think that is incredibly short-sighted when we look at what contributes to people staying in their jobs, doing the best work that they can do, and actually feeling part of the team, feeling part of the company. That's where loyalty comes from. And that is where creativity comes from. Regardless of whether or not you think that's your responsibility, okay, maybe not, but it's going to get you the outcomes you want.
You mentioned that giving just praise is possibly not enough in the workplace. So what else do we get wrong about validation?
One of the big ones is that we confuse validation with agreement. All right. If someone proposes something, maybe it's a solution that we don't agree with or we don't think is effective or the right way to go, whatever, our brains love to focus on what's wrong. Okay. It's like the shiny thing. And what we don't agree with and what we think is problematic is where our attention goes. And that's where we focus on our rebuttal or proposing an alternative, right? Such a mistake. Because if you cannot help people feel understood, they're just going to be fighting for that, okay? And so we're going back and forth in these conversations, trying to get each other to agree, basically trying to debate. And that is a mistake. You can validate, hey, I see where you're coming from. This makes total sense. And I see it differently. And if you do not do that first part, you will fail at actually influencing the person's decisions or behavior.
I mean, the incredible thing about this and diving deep into your book is it's a little bit of a secret key. It tends to unlock things, and unless you use the key, then you're wondering why I'm bumping my head up against a wall here.
It's so true. Like, imagine, I mean, just to use praise as an example, we all know what praise is. Imagine if you didn't really understand that concept and you hadn't been using it in your relationships, be it with your kids or at work. And then you started to really understand what it was. And it was like, oh yeah, this is powerful. And it's not that you're even being disingenuous. Often you may have been thinking, oh, like they did do a good job there. You just didn't necessarily think to communicate it or how to communicate it. And that's what I'm saying here. This has to be authentic to be effective. But once you kind of internalize and really see how fundamental validation is to communication, like so many doors will open in terms of your ability to both connect and influence.
Another thing we get wrong about validation is jumping into problem solving or coaching mode. And I'm putting my hand up here. Mm-hmm. Can you go deeper on this for me?
Yeah, we were raised on problem solving, most of us. Okay, so a colleague comes to me after a difficult interaction. I'm all, well, what did you say? Okay, I'm immediately trying to solve the problem, which is different from first acknowledging their experience. When you try and solve a problem, you're basically trying to change how somebody feels. All right, that's the subtle aim with problem solving, is to change the conditions.
Yes.
Validation immediately. immediately, right? And I think, again, this it can be really visceral. If you've got like a partner or kids, you know that feeling of like, I just want to intervene, I want to help. But in our haste to help, we often end up invalidating the other person's emotions. There's a lot of, it's okay, don't worry, we've got this, all of which says, your reaction is too big, turn it down. Okay, this isn't that big of a deal. But to that person in that moment, it feels that way. This feels like the end of their career. And so simply acknowledging that, like, yeah, this is really disappointing. You didn't perform as well as you wanted to. I'd be disappointed too in your shoes. That doesn't exacerbate their emotions. It doesn't increase their despair. It has the opposite effect. They no longer feel alone in it. And when we don't feel isolated from another person, we're more willing to collaborate with them.
How does validation strengthen relationships at work? What's your experience?
So there's my experience and there's the research. So my experience is that it creates this sense of like connection, like I've got you. In part because at work, we're not expecting it. We've been indoctrinated with this idea about what professionalism means. And unfortunately, for many of us, it means clinical, it means cold, it means distal. So when you do validate somebody at work, you're sending this other signal of like, we can be real here. And that's interesting. And that feels safe, presuming it's done well. And people will challenge me on that all the time. And I will say, test it, collect some data. Because in my years of doing this and in training folks in doing it, it has simply not been the case. All right. And we've got a boatload of research to substantiate that hypothesis, that it in fact strengthens relationships. And importantly, it also improves outcomes.
Let's go into this practical side then. If I do want to validate people more, what's the best way to do that, even to transpose praise into validation?
So in my book, I talk about 8 different skills, okay, which is a lot. And these skills provide you different ways of validating at different levels. So if I'm really struggling to connect with somebody, perhaps it's my fiercest political opponent, and I don't understand or empathize with their experience, I can at least pay attention. And there are ways that I can pay attention that communicate a low level of validation. One of the simplest is copying, simply repeating like the words that a person used to describe a situation and or their nonverbals, it sends this bidirectional signal wherein when I copy you, it activates mirror neurons. It allows me to literally taste a little bit of what you're feeling. So by intentionally copying your nonverbals, I feel a little bit, okay? And then on the receiving end, we love to see ourselves reflected in other people. It is how we come to recognize our tribe. And so, especially when I don't agree or I'm struggling to connect with someone's experience, I will simply copy their nonverbals or, you know, the key words that they use in describing something. So that's a really low-level one that you can use in any situation.
Yeah, and you're talking about low-level and you've got a great kind of visual representation that represents the whole kind of eight steps. You call it the validation ladder. Do you tend to start at the bottom and sort of go gently with some people, and then does it go deeper as you go higher up the ladder? Is that it conceptually, Caroline?
Yeah, so conceptualizing, we've got these two skills at the bottom that, again, are like, if I don't understand or I don't empathize, I can just be non-judgmental. And one of those skills is that copying. I don't have to agree with, like you, or anything to copy. And then by copying, I will start to like you a little bit and understand you a little bit better. Okay. And then at the top of the ladder, our most powerful skills are skills like self-disclosure or emoting, where you actually allow yourself to kind of break character and have a genuine emotional reaction to somebody. I am always trying to go as high as I can go. In other words, I want to be as validating as I can be. So if I see something and I'm like, oh my gosh, I get what that person's going through. Or, you know, they're telling me something and I do have a genuine like reaction to it. And I allow myself maybe to show that. That can be more deeply validating. So I want to go as high as I can go. But if I don't have the understanding and empathy that the more impactful skills have, that's why I would need to start lower down.
You're listening to This Working Life on ABC Radio National. I'm Lisa Leong. My guest is Caroline Fleck. She's a psychologist and she's the author of Validation, The New Psychology of Influence. Let's run through some scenarios and you can tell us how you might use the validation ladder in relation to these. Okay. A colleague comes to me. They've got a problem about a coworker. How might I use validation in this instance?
A little tip for those of you listening. A person's experience consists of their emotions, their behaviors, and their thoughts. I only need to validate one of them, okay? So often when people come to me and they're complaining about someone else or some external situation, I don't know if their read of the situation is valid. Like, I don't know if that's an accurate depiction of things, okay? And I actually want to be careful not to reinforce, you know, a narrative that maybe isn't serving them or that I can't, like, fact check on the surface. Okay, so I'm careful there. What I can validate, what I can always validate, is their emotions. Like, that is seriously stressful. Like, you must be dreading coming in the mornings. Right? Mm. Like, do you think about it on your drive in? Does it affect you when you go home? I mean, just those questions are somewhat validating, right? They're attending questions, but they're showing that I'm like reading between the lines. I'm putting myself in this person's shoes and I'm creating space for them to just be open about it. None of that says I agree with what they think, but that is typically how I would come at it, is to first be like, okay, how can I validate their emotions here? How could I get at that? And it would be some degree of like question asking, kind of, I see it as an onion that I'm trying to like peel back to like, where's the heart of the issue for them? Does that make sense?
And I'm really intrigued then, where would you go next?
Okay, so
after you've validated.
Yeah, yeah. So they're telling me, oh my gosh, I can't sleep, right? I mean, it's like, I honestly, Caroline, I'm thinking of leaving. Like, it's that bad. Like, this person is like, if they don't leave, I'll leave. All right. And I've done all my validation. Like, oh my God, I totally get it. You know, I've been in that situation before. It's awful. Then I would switch to change. All right. So I've conveyed that I get where you're coming from. It makes sense that your reaction is what it is. What are we going to do? All right. And then I'll start to like, should we try and salvage this? Do you want to try and salvage it? I'm asking for permission. If they say yes, I'm like, all right, let's just brainstorm. Okay. What if we try this, that, or the other? Or what if you talk to this person? So I go straight into the problem solving, which frankly, I don't need to coach you on. Everyone listening to this is good at problem solving.
Yeah.
We're beautiful. So good at it, right?
Yeah. I actually felt more comfortable as soon as you started talking about the problem solving part.
I saw your nonverbals. You were like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good now. Okay, I've got another scenario for you. I'm leading a team. One of my direct reports is actually underperforming on a project. How might I practice validation in this instance?
So again, I start with I need to understand the lay of the land here. So what's their experience? All right. I want to understand where they're struggling. And then I need to connect that struggle to the thing we need to work on. So in other words, if someone is low performing, I'm going to presume that there's some chain of cause and effect that's leading to that, all right? And we're simply going to acknowledge it. Or I'm going to explore it, try and help them explore it, find what those links are, and then do this, you know, it makes total sense that you're struggling with this, given X, Y, or Z. And how are we going to address that? There's this great saying for these types of situations, and it's, you're doing the best you can, and you need to do better. And we can hold those two truths simultaneously. Believe it or not, we can. Our tendency is to want one or the other. But in that type of situation, where someone is not bringing what they need to bring to the table, be it in a relationship or at work, that is the message I need to send. You're doing the best you can, given the conditions, and you need to do better. It's a little confusing and abstract, I know. But
No, it made me think actually that, you know, because that puts the focus on, well, what are the conditions that will help you do, you know, better in this instance rather than seeing the person as a defect, right?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. It's very focused on conditions because the more that it's focused on character, the harder it is to affect change. People are very sensitive about protecting their egos and their character and character assaults. They don't want anything. They don't even want to look in that direction, okay? But behavior, they can change. Behavior is workable. And if they trust that you see them, you like them, you just don't like this thing and you want to help them improve it, that's a very different dynamic than you think that they are incompetent, lazy, X, Y, or Z. It's in the realm of judgments there that people become very resistant to change when they feel like they're being judged.
Caroline, we actually got onto you because we did an episode on feedback, and our feedback expert, Roche, said, you know, this approach, validation, is fantastic. And she actually wrote to us to say, as a facilitator, she wrote, my main rule for myself is, when in doubt, validate. Not as a technique, but as a strength-based approach and mindset. And she wrote, it's astonishing to see the impact every time. Would love to know, how do you use validation when giving feedback?
Yeah, there's some interesting research on the feedback space that actually comes from the Gottmans. John Gottman is this marriage guru. Basically, he's done more research on couples than just about anyone alive today. And what they found was that when you're giving feedback or you're in an argument, for every one piece of negative feedback, you need to send five, they would say positive signals, but really it's just just small versions of validation, like nodding, copying, some of that stuff, right? That's not like, I agree with you, but is sending that signal. And I think about that every single time in providing feedback. People do not improve or change from a place of weakness. When they feel like there is too much that they just can't overcome, or that you don't believe in them, or they don't believe in themselves, they're not going to rise. They need to feel like you see more good in them than bad, and that they can rely and pull upon those strengths to address whatever weaknesses there are. But this is just, it's crystal clear to me. As soon as someone starts to feel down on themselves, the harder it is for them to change. And like, if you're not keeping that at the front of your mind when you're providing feedback, that's a mistake. Because the other thing that happens at work is people mask. They keep a straight face. They don't break down crying like your kid would, right? They're like, this is constructive. Thank you very much. Right? And then they're like, either want to kill you or like go home and cry, but they're not going to show. Mm. And so you can't rely on those signals of like them kind of, you know, melting in front of you as much as you can in other dynamics with like a partner or a family member or something. So you have to be more intentional about making sure you are keeping your negativity bias in check and keeping those ratios where they need to be.
So now that we know more about validation, can you explain how it might increase our influence at work? How do they play together?
I'm trained as a behaviorist. And as a behaviorist, we focus a lot on positive reinforcement and shaping and these types of concepts. And there's no way around the fact that like validation is very reinforcing. That is like candy, except unlike candy, we don't get sick of it. people get, you know, nervous here because it sounds like manipulation. And I don't mean for it to be that. All right. So when I see a behavior that I like, I want to reinforce it, not just with praise, but also with validation. And as others have observed, it has an incredible positive effect. And that is powerful.
Okay, so we've got this regular segment. It's called Try This, Caroline. So what happens is we share a tip that this working lifers can try during the week as an experiment. So can you come up with one thing we can try this week, Caroline?
So excited for this because you can do this at work or at home or everywhere in between. The tip is to simply ask yourself when you're like in dialogue with someone, when someone comes to you with the problem, when you're trying to figure out how to respond, just ask yourself, should I lead with problem solving or validation? That's all you need. You just need this teeny tiny little step to slow your problem solving brain down and reflect on what does the situation warrant, okay? And then proceed. But it's that, a supervisor told me that however many decades ago, and it like seriously transformed my life. And I think about it every day and not just at work, but like it's actually become kind of, it's now more of an automatic like check system for myself. I feel that urge to intervene. And then this other like mindfulness bell rings that's like, ding, 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 should you be doing that? and I'd love to gift that to people.
Is it a rhetorical question? Because is the answer always validation?
No, it's not. It's not. There's plenty of times like when people, you know, if someone's at a car has broken down and they're like, can you help me change their tire, my tire? I'm not going to be like, I see this really is painful for you. You're on the side of the road. Like I had a flat tire once and it was horrible. Like what? Not helpful. No, change the tire. Okay. There's plenty of times where you will lead with problem solving. Maybe 80% of the time you should, but it's that 20% of the time when you shouldn't, that's where the magic is being lost. And I want you to start to attune to that.
Okay, so we're asking the question, is this a problem-solving scenario or is this a validation scenario?
Yep. Should I respond with validation? Trying to understand where they're coming from, trying to show that I see their experience, not that I'm judging some part of it. Or do we work on resolving whatever the situation is?
So I want you to try this and report back by following me on LinkedIn and commenting on our Validation at Work LinkedIn post. Thanks so much, Caroline.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. This was fabulous. Thank you.
Dr. Caroline Fleck is a psychologist and corporate consultant. Her book is called Validation, The New Psychology of Influence. Thanks for listening to ABC Radio National's This Working Life. It was produced by Michelle Weeks and engineered by Tim James on the lands of the Wurundjeri people in Naarm, Melbourne. If you like what you heard, subscribe to our podcast, share it with a colleague or a friend. You can do that on the ABC Listen app or anywhere you listen to podcasts. I'm Lisa Leong. Until next time, work it like a charm. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.